Hello and welcome to today's edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. March is, as you may know, Fraud Prevention Month in Canada, and in a world of cybercrime, fraud is more of a topic than ever before. In this edition of the podcast, we're joined by Tony Anscombe, security evangelist at ESET, to discuss a variety of topics around fraud. We'll talk about why we need a Fraud Prevention Month, best practices for consumers and businesses alike in avoiding potential fraud, and how solution providers can help their customers be as fraud-proof as possible. But we'll see that being entirely impervious to fraud is harder to achieve than you might think. Tony will share his own tale of being an unsuspecting victim of credit card fraud, and it didn't happen because he necessarily did anything wrong. It's a fascinating interview, so let's get right into it. My chat with Tony Anscombe. Tony, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rob. It's great to be here again.
As we sit here, we're on the very cusp of Fraud Prevention Month in Canada. And I guess to throw it open, I'd just like to get your thoughts on sort of the changing face and changing nature of fraud in the connected online world that provides so many different faces and aspects to fraud that we wouldn't have seen before, and sort of the need for an idea like Fraud Prevention Month.
Well, it's great for, in fact, all users of technology. I mean, from whether it's a consumer who's clicking a phishing link and you know, being taken to some spurious store where they're going to be trapped into buying something that's not real and handing over their cash, you know, to actually a business whose employees are being spearfished and actually targeted to try and breach their data, and steal their customer data or access their inner workings. So super important to have Fraud Prevention Month.
Can you touch a little bit on kind of the changing face of fraud and the kind of challenges that consumers and businesses alike are facing in this connected era?
Well, so there's obviously several parts to fraud. I mean, there's fraud of somebody stealing your credit card and going off and making spurious transactions on it. And as I just alluded to, there's for example, like phishing scams.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different parts of this, but all of it, you know, any cybercrime like this is pretty much fraud. As a consumer, you have to be super careful. In fact, Rob, let me share a story with you.
Please do.
I unfortunately was actually subject to some online fraud myself. And it shows that actually even somebody who's a cybersecurity expert can actually fall victim to this. Last July, I used a credit card to purchase something on an airline website. That airline in August declared they'd had a data breach. And I did the obvious thing of changing passwords and all those sorts of good things. In December, I had 43 transactions on my credit card. Now, what's super interesting is somebody had taken my credit card details and they were buying insurance policies. And the reason they buy insurance policies is because when you get them, you can cancel them, you can get them refunded, and the insurance company was paying out in check. They were money laundering through my credit card account. So
right.
super. Yeah, we often as a consumer, we often think about these type of issues. We hear about fraud, we hear about these great initiatives, but we don't actually hear about the real examples.
Mm-hmm.
So I've given you one true, very true example. And I will say my bank paid me back the money within 3 days and asked me for a statement so that they could contact law enforcement and go after the person suspected of creating this fraud. So they obviously had some idea of who was behind it.
And it just goes to show that these are you know, you think of fraud as something you can get hit, you know, as you say, if you're spearfished or you click the wrong link or something like that, something that requires an action on your part, whether intentional or unintentional, to activate. But as your example shows, it's something that can hit you just as a result of your sort of normal conducting of business in the online world.
Well, let me tell you how I could have avoided it. Because that's obviously the important part. We're in Fraud Prevention Month. Had I used Apple Pay or Google Pay, my credit card details would never have been stored on that website.
Right.
because then only a transaction ID would have been transmitted across. But this was a vendor I took. This particular airline was one I trusted, I had handed over my credit card details, and they were stored on their system. But had I used one of the digital payment methods, this would never have happened. So there's a good tip for everybody listening.
All right. Appreciate that. Obviously, especially at this time of year, as we begin Fraud Prevention Month, fraud is a topic that solution providers are talking to their customers about. Curious to get your thoughts on, what solution providers can do, what ESET resellers can do to help their customers better understand and better protect themselves against fraud, and sort of best practices that you've seen among partners in the channel community.
So let's cover off the obvious one first. I mean, we've already mentioned phishing and spear phishing.
Yeah.
The first thing, let's cover off that big obvious one. You mentioned ESET as well. Yeah, have your anti-malware product installed. Have it up to date. Make sure you're running the latest version. This is what's going to protect you against those phishing links as a business. So important, especially as if you're reselling a product like ESET, make sure your customer actually understands why they need to continually keep it up to date. I can tell you now, so many businesses stick on a back version because they don't want to change anything or they just can't be bothered to update it. Having the latest version, having the latest updates is the best protection. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one big piece in here. If you're in a small business, something you might not think about is limiting who has access to what. Big businesses have these processes set out quite well. If you have a customer database, only the people that actually need access to the customer database should be able to access it. And they should only be able to access the bits they need. So limiting access obviously means that bad guys can't come in, steal data, and then commit fraud on your customers, which is, of course, a loss of reputation for you and potentially really damaging to your business.
Anything else you can share in the way of sort of best practices, things that you've seen solution providers do that are particularly effective, especially when it comes to the education side of making their customers aware of the risks that are there and the challenges that are there?
Well, probably the biggest challenge in cybersecurity actually is education. Mm-hmm. The education of not only the person that you're dealing with from a reseller perspective and a customer who may well be a little IT aware or is an IT person and is aware, but also cybersecurity training for every employee in an end customer. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why at ESET we have cybersecurity training. You can take our training, you can customize it and run it out through to the very person down at the end user desk and have them run through it. And I would have them run through it on an annual or even more frequent basis. Mm. Yeah, having those points of not clicking on phishing links or security, having complex passwords, or all the things that we continually talk about, having those reiterated on a frequent basis keeps the end user education up. If you think about all the data breaches we hear of so many times, you hear about, somebody clicked on a link, somebody gave up a password. Mm-hmm. It's typically a cyber criminal toying with the end user to try and get some piece of information off them that allows them to breach that company network.
We are all ultimately consumers in this online world as well, and obviously resellers serve those consumers whether directly or indirectly. You've already touched on some of them, I know, but what are some of the best practices or best advices that you have for consumers to keep themselves as safe as possible?
Well, so one thing when we transact online, so when we sit on that sofa and we're sitting there shopping, whether it's a sale or whether it's just for something we want, always think about where you're shopping. Did you actually manually type in the address? Did you click through it from an email? Is it a vendor who you're going to buy from frequently? If it's not, then I've already said don't store your credit card details. So check out as guest. And in fact, I've learned from my mistake here to use digital payment methods. But I also now, if I go to a website that I'm going to go back to, I actually now don't store any payment details. Mm-hmm. And where applicable, I check out as guest if I'm not going to go back there and buy anything again. The company doesn't need my data. They don't need to store it. I don't need them to have it. That means some cyber criminal can't come along and steal it later on. So there's kind of a big top of not sharing. Public Wi-Fi is another big one. You know, don't sit in public Wi-Fi spots and start putting in personal information or doing things. One, somebody could be looking over your shoulder and just snooping. I mean, there's the most obvious. But on a public Wi-Fi network, it is exactly what it says. It's public. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody can sit there with a piece of software, pick off the packets off the network, put them together, and suddenly they can start seeing IDs and passwords and other traffic that you don't think you're giving up, but two, you don't want them to have. And the other one, Rob, really big one, and I bet you're like me here, you've got a drawer full of old devices at home.
I may be guilty of that.
Because we put them in a drawer thinking, well, if this one goes wrong, I've got the old one to fall back on. Or
yeah.
or we hand that device down to somebody else in the family. Mm-hmm. And we never really keep track of where it goes. Yeah, a really big tip here is if you're a consumer and you've got an old device, wipe it clean. Mm-hmm. And if you're unsure of how to wipe it clean, take it to an expert who's going to wipe it clean for you. Yeah, make sure that there's none of that personal data hanging around. If you think about what you keep on your mobile, certainly your mobile device, never have we created such an item that's got so much of our personal data in it.
Right.
If I think about what's on my own personal phone, yeah, my own mobile phone, there's so much personal stuff on there that would allow somebody to really steal my identity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one that also ties over well to business, especially for resellers working with SMBs. I think, you know, to your point earlier, larger businesses may have processes and procedures and policies in place to control this. But for resellers working with SMB, I think sometimes there isn't enough time when you're talking about a technology refresh or update or upgrade. There isn't as much thought as maybe could be put into, okay, so what happens to that previous generation of technology and all the data that's on it?
Well, and the other thing that brings in as well is bring your own device, BYOD. Mm. In that smaller business, you know, a company may be reluctant to go and buy individual devices for everyone. So it might actually allow people to bring in their own personal phone, their own tablet or whatever it is, and pick up their email. You know, That device then becomes the weak spot in the network if you're not insisting that it's got up-to-date security software and it's got the same password and authentication mechanisms that you would have on a device that you own as a company.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. All right. Anything else we need to know about dealing with the specter of fraud, especially over the course of this fraud prevention month?
The big one, I think, is awareness and education. You know, don't consider that you're not going to be the victim. Yeah, you know, I've shared my personal story here of being the victim. And yeah, if you'd asked me in November, Robert, would I be a victim? I'd have said never. Yeah. unfortunately, we're all susceptible of being the victim. So keeping the awareness up, keeping the education up, keeping the software up to date is all absolutely mandatory for everyone.
All right. Appreciate the words of wisdom. Thanks so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, Rob.
So there you have it, the highlights of fraud prevention as seen by ESET's Tony Anscombe. I'd like to thank Tony for joining us again for the podcast, thank ESET for its continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening.
We'll be back tomorrow as we're joined by Tech Data Canada boss Ed Galasso. The distributor is rolling out a new approach to working with SMB-focused VARs, and we'll find out all about Ignite, how it works, and why Tech Data Canada thinks it has the potential to revolutionize the role of distribution in the small business space. So be sure to join us for that, but until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.